Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here to talk some Big Brother. Today, we're going to hear from one of the members of the legendary Cookout Alliance. It's Hannah Chadha, who's going to be joining us and here to talk with Hannah today. It's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm very excited, Rob. Very excited to talk with Chadha. I feel like it's going to be a good conversation. I'd love to hear about like what's going on with, you know, this whole postseason situation.
Yeah, I know.
Talk to her about the jury, talk to her about her game. Should be a good time.
Yeah. Should be a fun conversation today. We're going to work on getting a couple more of these interviews lined up with the jury in the next couple of days. The people over at CBS have been very helpful with trying to help us get some of the interviews that we requested. And so we have the first of those here today. We have a little bit more time with Chadha than we had with the final three and Tiffany from finale night. But if you wanted to go back and hear any of those interviews, of course, those are up at robitsawebsite.com. We also had the chance to talk to Arissa Cox the other day, Taryn.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was very fun.
Yeah. It's been a busy week. Talked about the year in Big Brother with Arissa between the historic Big Brother Canada 9 season and then also Big Brother 23 this year. So Arissa had a lot of great thoughts on the year in Big Brother. And then Taryn, I know it was a supersized final roundtable this week.
Yes, we went about 3 hours or so as we went through every player to rate them as players. We talked about the season. We rated the season. We did all of the things, everything in one podcast. It was a good time.
Okay. And before we completely switch gears from Big Brother soon, I just want to highlight one more time that if you miss the, dulcet sounds of Taryn Armstrong, of course, you could hear him every week talking about Survivor on the Survivor Stock Watch.
Yes, it's a very good time over there on the Survivor Stock Watch. We talk about the episode. We rate the players there. I'm just all about rating things. I rate everything. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah. Steven says, I guess those rankings are arbitrary and reductive. Are rankings the same as ratings?
They are different, but I do also like to rank things. Mm-hmm. They may be arbitrary. They may be reductive, but that does not mean that they're not fun.
Anybody good on the Survivor Stock Watch this week, Taryn?
As it, like the players? I mean, I've been highest on Shan.
Well, I meant your guest.
Oh. Well, for those Big Brother viewers, I'm going to have Ovi.
Yes, on, there you go. On the so more Big Brother crossover there on the Survivor Stock Watch. Okay, all right. Yes.
I get lots of fun Big Brother guests. I had Kevin Martin on before. And who knows, maybe there's going to be Big Brother 23 players on the Survivor Stock Watch podcast eventually.
Okay. All right. We'll keep our fingers crossed. But in the meantime, I see that we have Chadha on the line and let's go ahead and bring her in.
This is my first podcast that I've done like face to face.
Okay. So, well, it's a real treat to get to talk with you, Hannah Chadha. I'm Rob Cesternino, and this is Taryn Armstrong. And we just got done watching you and the Cookout make history this season. So nice to be able to finally chat.
Yeah, I know. I still can't believe that I was even on this season because I'm such a big fan of the show myself. So when people are like, oh my gosh, I'm a Big Brother fan, I'm like, oh, so am I. Let's talk about past seasons. And really, they just want to talk about like this season and me and the Cookout. So it's something that I'm still like struggling to wrap my head around. But it's been awesome.
Chadha, could you give us the quick update of where are you at now after a week after the season has ended? Yes.
Okay. Do you mean like physically where?
Yeah. Have you made it home yet? Yeah.
No, I have not made it home. I was supposed to go home on Tuesday. And then we ended up staying at Todrick Hall's house. Because Tiffany basically texted him and was like, hey, I have 6 other people with me. Our Airbnb stay is up. Can we crash with you? And he's such a big fan of the show too. So he was like, yeah, of course. And he's been so gracious and hospitable. So I've been at Todrick's place for the past like 5 or so days. I'm never leaving. No, I'm just kidding. I'm probably leaving on like Sunday. to go back home to Chicago, but I might fly back the following week. I don't know. We'll just have to see.
Well, your hair looks great. You got it cut.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So last night, I woke up at like 6 a.m. and, or not last night, but like yesterday morning, I woke up at 6 a.m. and I was feeling impulsive. I wanted to chop off my hair. So I made an appointment at 6 a.m. for 9 a.m. and then I got it cut.
What's been the adjustment like to coming out of the house now after, you know, you spend, you know, however many days in the house and then in the jury house, and now finally you are back in the real world now?
I feel very out of the loop in terms of like current events, the news, pop culture. Even with COVID, I'm like, what's the deal with COVID? Just because COVID wasn't part of our reality in the house. So it's weird, like coming out of the house and seeing people wearing masks again. And I don't know, I just feel very like removed from society even still.
Okay. Well, Hannah, consider yourself lucky because we could update you on everything that's going on, but we don't want to bum you out.
Are things that bad?
No, it's not great. It's
gotten worse.
This isn't that kind of podcast.
Okay.
What is there anything you've learned coming out of the house that you've been like surprised by?
Okay, so apparently Zendaya and Tom Holland are dating.
Oh yeah,
that's
all Taryn and I've been talking about.
Yeah.
Wait, really? Or no?
We're too busy with Big Brother. We don't have time for real stuff.
We've also been in a bubble. Yeah.
Well, it's because Zendaya and Tom Holland, they did like the first two Spider-Man movies together, and they were always like, oh, we're just best friends. We're just best friends. So when I came out of the house, my sister was like, no, but they're dating. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
It was liars.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. There was something there. So I was surprised to learn that.
Can you tell us a little bit that I had seen the Instagram stories of that everybody was watching the episodes together, watching the first couple of shows. Can you talk a little bit about what that was like?
Yes. Okay. So like I said earlier, I'm such a big fan of the show myself that when other people are like, oh my God, Big Brother, I just want to talk to them about like previous seasons and not me. So it is it's almost like an out of body experience watching yourself on TV in the third person. It doesn't feel like I'm watching myself. It feels like I'm watching a character. And then also because we're on 24/7, like we're filmed while we're sleeping, they have to condense 168 hours of footage into 3 40-minute episodes. So before we started watching the episodes, we were like, okay, of course, this is what they're going to show. This is what they're going to show. They're not going to show this. They're not going to show that. That's not important. That's not part of like the main storyline. So I was very surprised by what I saw because it seemed, okay, so we've gotten through the first like 3 weeks or so. They didn't show Tiffany coming up with the master plan in week 3. Maybe they'll show it in one of the later episodes, just not chronologically.
We'll get there.
Yes. And then in like week 1, I really expected the narrative to surround like DX, Travis, and Kylan, and Frenchie wanting to backdoor one of them. But instead it was focused around like Christian and Alyssa. And I don't know. I just feel like they've left out a lot, but they've done their best.
Yeah. It's a Rob knows because I was on every podcast. Yeah. Like, what are they doing? Like there's so much good stuff that they're leaving out.
Yeah. Cause you guys are live feeders, right? You guys are pretty committed to the show.
Taryn certainly is.
I'm the loser that watches the live feeds every day.
But would you say that like live feeds compared to the show itself are like two totally different things?
Definitely on this season was particularly bad for the U.S. when it came to accurately representing, I think, what was happening on the show all the time. They've done better in the past. They're usually better than Big Brother Canada, but especially in the early weeks, because there was so much going on in those early weeks that they were really struggling to fit a cohesive narrative into the episode.
And I think the challenge was that in the house, you were all playing like 2 or 3 weeks down the road. And the TV show is like very focused on, okay, what's happening this week? You know, what's happening with this vote, as opposed to so much of like the planning for, all right, who's out next week?
In
that,
week
that's
two,
true.
when Frenchie was, he was out the second Kylan won the HOH, basically.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But they spent all the episodes focused on Frenchie, even though you guys were talking about Brent and Whitney and, you know, everything else.
Yeah. I was surprised by that too, because I feel like they didn't really explain why the target shifted to Brent. It was kind of just like, okay, so his team's going to throw the HOH competition, but why? Mm-hmm. Right. So it seemed like it was a personal move. And for me, it was kind of a personal move. I just really, mm-hmm. Brent and I didn't gel in the house.
Yeah, we got no that. Secret. Yeah, we definitely got that.
Yeah. That's no secret at all. But also Brent was kind of catching on to the cookout, potentially working together, because he was like, I don't understand why Xavier is so eager to want to protect Azza and Big D when I guess no one should have expected the three of them to be working together. And that's half the cookout right there. So during my one-on-one with Xavier, I told him that, and that didn't make the show. So that's another reason why I was like, Brent has to go, because if anyone's going to be able to sniff out the cookout, it's him. Like all he did was just kind of like lurk around the house and
read lips,
read people's lips. Yeah, exactly. So I was like, he's dangerous. He's got to go. Plus I don't get along with him. So good riddance.
Now, from the outside looking in, it seems like that it's been just such a love fest with everybody at the end of the season. But we had thought, especially with the way that the final six ultimately turned out, where once the cookout got to the final six, that there seemed like that there was a real divide, especially between you and Tiffany and then some of the men in the cookout, that we thought that there could be some friction there. Has all those differences been patched up?
Okay, well, I feel like I've made it clear that I've gained 5 older brothers and sisters from the cookout. Mm-hmm. I feel like the 6 of us are bonded for life, and I have love for each and every one of them. In terms of the things that some of them said about Tiffany, myself, and Azza, I haven't really gotten to the bottom of it because everything has been such a whirlwind. It's been very overwhelming. I've been tagged in so many clips, but I do eventually plan on sitting down, watching the season, watching some of the live feed footage, especially when we got down to 6 and in like the couple weeks leading up to that point. And then I let everyone in the cookout know that I do want to have an intimate personal conversation with them. So we can not hash it out, but address why something might have been problematic and why I might have been hurt by some of those comments. I do intend on addressing that with each and every one of them. No one gets off scotch-free.
Yes.
But it's just kind of a matter of, I want to be as educated and informed as possible when going into those conversations, because I don't want it to just be like, oh, well, I heard, or like this person on Twitter told me this, therefore it's true. So that's how I would like to approach those conversations. But trust me, those conversations will be had.
I think that's a very good approach that I wish more alumni followed. Because let me tell you, usually what happens is the fans will immediately try to start fights. You know, the conversations should be had, but it's, I think, good to definitely sort of try to learn as much as you can before before having those conversations.
Knowledge is power. So, I'd say so.
I want to know from a couple of moments in the game. I think from my perspective, one of your shining moments was when Christian was HOH. This was like the moment where the cookout was, I think, the most in danger it ever was throughout the entire season, because Christian and Alyssa really wanted to target you, and Sarah Beth was pushing really hard, and X was trying, but it wasn't working to protect you. And like right up until the nomination ceremony, you know, the Jokers talked to them, and they're like, this makes us even more want to target Hannah. And it wasn't until you spoke to both Christian and Alyssa that you managed to convince them you shouldn't be the target. The target should be Whitney instead. And because of that, the cookout didn't need to expose themselves by protecting you or anything else that might have happened that week. Can you just go into that moment a little bit more? Did you realize how vital it was in that moment? And what was your sort of like strategy for it?
Yeah, well, thank you for calling that one of my shining moments, because in the house, I was kind of led to believe that it was Xavier, Kylan, and Tiffany who did all that work.
They failed. It was you.
And I didn't do anything. So I didn't even realize that people were giving me credit or accolades for that. This is honestly the first time that I'm hearing that. In that moment, I knew that even if I was the target, I would have had the numbers to say between the cookout and DX. But of course, we didn't want to have to show our cards week four, because even if I hadn't gone home, one of us would have probably gone home pre-jury, and then we wouldn't have had the majority, and then we would have probably flopped. But my approach going into that conversation with Christian was to make him feel secure with me and to break it. The way that my mind processes things, I'd like to say, is pretty logical. So I felt like, okay, if I can break this down logically and rationally, and if I can let him know why not targeting me benefits his game, then hopefully he'll be receptive to that. So that was week four. That was like 10 weeks ago. I don't even remember what my points were, but
well, you really reminded him of the relationship that you had built. And when he talked to Alyssa later, he was like, we really have had a great relationship with her. Why would we target her?
Exactly. Thank you. And then it was also, I think I said something along the lines of, why not put up a joker? Because if you put up Whitney, DX and I are okay with her going home. You wouldn't really be getting our blood on your hands. But if you put up both me and Whitney, now you have a team that could have reason to come after you. And that's exactly what happened the following week. I'm not saying that DX backdoored Christian because of me by any means, but funny how it worked out that way. But I think I just wanted to make Christian feel secure with me. Like you said, I wanted to remind both him and Alyssa of the relationship that the three of us had, because I had been talking game with them for weeks. So in my head, I was kind of thinking, why are you jeopardizing that? Because everyone else in this house hasn't really gone out of their way to build that kind of relationship with you. So you're putting an ally at risk, even though I would have come after them anyway. So they were smart to want to target me, but I'm glad I was able to get myself out of that situation by just breaking things down logically.
Another thing that you did a really great job with was with everything from the high roller room and figuring out all of the different angles that were necessary for the cookout to really be able to maximize that. Could you just talk a little bit about how you were able to, you know, figure everything out and being able to determine, you know, who were the biggest and most likely threats to get the BB bucks along the way?
Yeah. Okay. So, the master plan, brilliant. It allowed the cookout to be in possession of all of the information in the house at once. So all that really needed to happen was DX needed to come back, tell me how much he won. Claire needed to come back and tell Tiffany how much she won. So we were aware of the breakdown of the BB bucks. Now, of course, people could have been lying, but it made sense. It's not like you had seven people that were saying they only got 50 BB bucks to their person within the cookout. So we were aware of how many BB bucks each person had. And then with that information, I was able to kind of figure out who could play. And then based on, or like out of the people who could play, who needed to win, who didn't need to win, who needed to throw, who needed to go on the block, who needed to come down. I don't know. It was a lot, but that was probably like my favorite period of the game, just because my mind was always running. I was playing with that chessboard. I was running scenarios, probabilities. I came to Tiff and I was like, listen, I have 59 scenarios. Let's go through all of them. That's just how my mind works. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun. It was fun.
Yeah. It seemed like things were going pretty well, but, it was basically that final eight HOH, Tiffany wins. She wasn't supposed to. And that's really when it seemed like your relationship, particularly with Xavier, kind of went downhill, because he was very upset with Tiffany. And he was kind of like going to everyone that he could to sort of complain about it to. And you were like not quite as receptive to the complaints as, you know, a big D. And so, were you worried at that point that like, because, you know, you had like the sibling relationship with him, you had hot takes with Hannah, you had, you know, he talked about in the diary room the week before how he wanted to go to the end with you and Tiffany. But then that week really changed things. Were you concerned at that time that your hold on the game was slipping?
Yes. Oh, sorry. I just wanted to say one last thing about the high rollers room, about the previous question, and then I'll get back to this question. But the most crucial part about the high rollers room was that anything could have happened with those powers. So we needed to make sure that as many duo partners as possible were like available to be thrown on the block. So that was the objective with each and every scenario and with each and every week. But going back to this question about me and Xavier, yeah, for sure. I think a lot of members of the cookout were on board with sending Tiffany home first, even before Tiffany had won that second HOH. And this just kind of gave them the ammo and the concrete reason that they needed to want to target her at six. And I knew that, Tiffany knew that, but I still chose to be loyal to Tiffany, because at the end of the day, Tiffany did exactly what she had to do. She sent Claire home. None of us were put in that position where we had to send our person home. Xavier never had to send Alyssa home. I didn't have to send DX home. So I understand why they were thrown off, as in like Xavier and the other members of the cookout, but Tiffany still delivered. So I didn't agree with them holding that over her head, because there were other instances where other members of the cookout acted out of self-interest. It's not like Tiffany did anything different. And I still think that it's unfair that they couldn't extend that same grace to Tiffany that they extended to each other. And because of that, I chose to stick by Tiff, and we wanted to reel Kyland in. We wanted to make Kyland see that he was on the outs with Xavier, Azza, and Big D. We were like, Kai, even though you think the guys are working together, you're not as loyal, or X isn't as committed to you as you are to him. He doesn't actually need you in this game. So you might as well work with us. It was that conversation that we had upstairs in the HOH room with Tiffany, Kai, and myself. And I think that's when Kai decided that he wanted to target Tiffany as well. But if Kai hadn't done that, I think that the three of us would have probably made it to final three.
Yeah, he was very dedicated to going to the end with the best player.
I know. He was almost like like someone who. Never mind.
I have a clip from Kyland when he was telling Sarah Beth about his plan to go to the end with the best player. She's like, that's really dumb. Why would you do that? And he said,
that is not how long-term thinking works.
She just doesn't understand long-term thinking, because it's better to go to the end with the best and lose.
I think that Kyland genuinely believes that he would have won against Xavier. So I think he thought, I can win against any of these people. So I want the most respectable win.
Mm-hmm. Well, if that's a very good question. Could Kyland have won against Xavier?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. The jury members were not bitter by any means, but I think X just had this presence in the house that drew other people towards him. Everyone felt good with him. Everyone trusted him. Everyone felt safe with him. There wasn't a decision that was made in the cookout that didn't have to be run by Xavier. Not because X was our leader by any means, but because people just genuinely valued his input. So because of the relationships that he had with the jury members, I don't think Kyland would have won. Even though Kyland did probably play the most Big Brother game, although this wasn't just a normal Big Brother season. And I think that context is important. And that's why Kyland probably wouldn't have won. But in Kyland's mind, he's thinking, I could probably beat any of these people. So I want the win that's going to give me the most, that's going to give me the biggest round of applause. But he would have been writing... Anyone who took X to Final Two would have just been writing him a 750K check.
Is that true of Azza as well? Because Azza, in the final days before the Final Three HOH, had decided that she would have also taken Xavier to the end. I assume Xavier still wins in that scenario as well.
I think Azza wanted Xavier to win, which I was rooting for Azza to be in Final Two just because I really didn't want to see her walk through the door of jury, like into roundtable. And I really didn't want to see her get evicted on finale night because I wanted her getting me out to have meant something. I didn't want that to be in vain because it was a bad move. Let's be honest. It was a bad move. I think if Azza had kept me and we sent X home, Azza and I could have made it to Final Two, or I could have made it to Final Two with Kai. Or maybe Kai and Big D, but I feel like I would have ended up in Final Two and Azza could have probably ended up in Final Two with me. What was the question? X and Azza. Yeah. So like I said, I just wanted her taking me out to have something. It seemed like she wanted Xavier to win and she was willing to sacrifice her own game.
Yeah.
to give him that check. I feel like me and Tiffany were the only ones that were like, we have to get X out at six. He's too dangerous. He's going to win this whole thing. And that's what got us sent home. So really people were just playing the game for X. But
could Kyland have beaten anybody in the final two?
Yeah, I think if Kyland and I were sitting in final two, that would have been a toss up. I'm not saying that would have been a 5-4 vote. Maybe it would have been a 6-3 vote in his favor. But I definitely had better relationships with all of the jury members. I had a final two with Alyssa, final two with DX, tight with Claire, tight with Brittany, final two with Tiff. Like I would have had much better relationships with
You had a great chance to win against, honestly, anybody. I think you had the toughest chance against Tiffany, but I think you could have beat Xavier too. I mean, based on my read, at least, you might have a better one having been a jury.
Thank you. I think it could have been like a 6-3 vote, me and Xavier. But a lot of it does depend on, because Xavier and I have had pretty comparable relationships with the jury members. Like people respected him, people liked him, people respected me, people liked me. But I think it would have depended on the first two people from the cookout to walk into the jury house. I don't want to say that Tiffany and I had a lot of influence on who was going to win. I think everyone, like the first five members of jury, Tiffany and myself, were all like, okay, X is winning this whole thing. Bada bing, bada boom, that's it. But I think if it was X and I in Final Two or Kai and I in Final Two, if Tiffany had still come in sixth and, I don't know, maybe Kai had come in fifth, maybe they would have swayed the jury members in a particular direction. It's because, I mean, with me and Tiff, that was the first time that the first five jury members got to ask us questions about the cookout. Like we were the ones who really set the tone of that narrative because we did spend a week and a half with them in jury. So I think it would have really just depended on like who the first two members of the cookout were or would have been to walk into jury, if that makes sense. That was a super long-winded answer. But basically, I think they would have probably influenced the jury in a specific direction. Because I think Tiffany would have been like, okay, you guys thought that Hannah was playing a very passive, low-key game where she didn't know what was going on. But here's what she did because I worked very closely with her. So I think Tiffany would have definitely had my back and she would have been able to illuminate some of my contributions in the game. But if Tiffany wasn't one of those first two jury members to walk into the jury house from the... I'm so sorry. I'm tired. But okay, you guys understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
Like if Tiffany wasn't one of the first two cookout members to walk into jury house, then maybe it would have been a different story.
The week that Derek X went out of the house, after he was gone, you talked about how it was so difficult for you, and you seemed like you really felt bad about having to send him out. You were worried what he was going to think of you once you got to see him after the game. Obviously, it seems like you guys are in a great place. Was that a process? Was there any sort of did that happen right away, or did you have to have multiple conversations with him?
No, DX as well as the other four non-cookout jury members have all been so understanding, so forgiving, and so supportive of the cause and the mission. And they've all chosen to understand why we had to make the moves that we made, oftentimes contrary to our own self-interest. So he never gave me a hard time about that. I think I was a lot more worried than I should have been. But it was really just me who was feeling guilty, because you have this person who does want to work with you, who does want to take you to the end. Up till this point, they've run every single thing by you. And the fact that I couldn't give him that in return because of my dedication and loyalty to the cookout, that crushed me. And it wasn't just he went home and I was missing him. I knew that I was going to see him in a couple of days anyway. But with Chopping Block Roulette, it was me and Kai who had to convince DX not to play, because I was more so in danger than he was. And it's not even because we needed him to go home that week, but we just needed to have him available as an option because we weren't sure how the power was going to play out. And that's why he couldn't play. Not because I was like, I need DX to go home. But once DX did find himself on the block, it was almost like, okay, he's going to be a much bigger obstacle for the cookout moving forward than Claire is. And he also has such great relationships with everyone in the cookout. Xavier's really the only person who can take that shot against him. And I don't want that on Xavier's resume in case I do find myself in a final two with him. So let him get taken out by someone who's going home next week anyway. Mm-hmm. That was kind of my rationale, but he and I make jokes about it all the time. And I was like, we're really laughing about this, right? You don't actually hold this against me. But no bad blood. He's a great friend.
What's next for you?
What do you mean?
What's next for you in life? What are your plans?
That is such a good question. I'm still out here in LA, so I don't know if I want to do anything with the show. I'm also a dancer, so I'm taking a dance class tonight. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll try to see if I can do something with that. But mainly I just want to go back home and I want to jump back into school. Yeah. I still have my master's to finish up and then med school. And then hopefully I can come back as Dr. Chada
in
a few seasons.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're on the right path.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Chada, thank you for making so much time for us today. This was so nice to get to catch up with you and talk with you a little bit face to face. So this was wonderful. Anything you want to promote or tell the fans to check out now?
Oh, dear.
I saw that the TikTok is up and running.
Yes. Okay. I will be posting more on TikTok. I definitely have to do that. I kind of forgot about TikTok, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm so bad. When I made that one post, because I only have two posts on my Instagram, when I made that one post a couple days after we got out of the house, I was like, Christian, Alyssa, I need help posting, because I don't know how to use social media. So they had to show me how to make a post on Instagram, and the ones who did that for me. Follow my TikTok, I guess. I'm now on Cameo. The link is in my Instagram bio, and thanks for watching this season.
Okay. Chada, thank you again. It's real fun to get to watch you this season.
Oh, thank you, Rob. Thanks, Taryn. It was nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
All right, Taryn, there you have it. Chada.
Yes, that was
so fun.
It was very nice to talk to her.
Yeah.
Good time. I feel like I was very interested to hear the thoughts on Kyland.
Yes, yes. You know, don't want to pry too much, but yeah, definitely. We're interested.
Yeah. And I mean, genuinely, I really liked her response about like, yeah, we're hanging out. Doesn't mean that, you know, the things that they've said are completely fine. Just, you know, learning as much as she can, mm-hmm. planning on having a conversation later in a mature way. It's like, what is with these emotionally stable, house guests coming out of this house doing things in a mature way?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing with Big Brother. It's like, the receipts are all there.
Yeah, eventually,
you know, you can have those conversations. Like, you don't have to have a lot of like, you know, telephone game eventually.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, you know, you get out of the house, you have so many people tweeting at you all kinds of clips and things. And, you know, a lot of the fans, they just want to see blood. Mm-hmm. But it's not always the most, you know, appropriate thing. So, mm-hmm. You know, I really do respect, what she's done.
Yeah. And you know, sounds like that she has like a great, career ahead of her, and you know, looking forward to seeing you know, where she goes from here. But Taryn,
coming back is Dr. Chada.
We are going to do a couple more of these this week. Okay.
Yes.
So make sure you subscribe to the podcast feed so you don't miss anything. robisatwebsite.com/subscribe. And so keep an eye out for what's coming next. Taryn, how about for you? We talked about Survivor Stock Watch.
Yes. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, or just go to twitch.tv and search for me, Taryn Armstrong, or just Google Taryn Armstrong on Twitch, or just Google Taryn Armstrong. It'll probably show up somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's really the good thing about my name, even though people have a lot of trouble pronouncing it and spelling it, is that it's pretty searchable. Mm-hmm. There's not too many Taryns out there. So
you're saying that there are the things on the computer that you could just type in whatever you're looking for and it will direct you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. It's really a marvel. So check it out. Find me on Twitch. And the thing about Twitch is that, if you want to just like hang out with me, you're basically just doing it, but I'm on a screen and I'm talking to you. And like, you know, it's like a weird parasocial relationship kind of thing, but, we have fun with it and, you know, come hang out with me. We'll play some games. We'll chat about shows and, it's a good time.
Mm-hmm. And Taryn right now is just all about that NFL. Life. Did I say that yet on a podcast, or only before we started podcasts?
Oh, you told me that I should tweet that out.
Yeah,
you were very.
I was like, hey, Taryn, to tweet out. I love NFL.
Love the
and
NFL.
And people are like, wait, what? Yeah, no feed life.
Yes, man, we really got him. Right. How many people just now? If you just got tricked by that,
mm-hmm.
tweet at mm-hmm. us.
Yeah, that's just like a test to see how many people are still listening past the plugs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like, I like to, you know, hide stuff there. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We got more Big Brother interviews coming your way. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.